Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are back here to answer your listener questions, including a great question from Sarah about taking toddlers to Cinderella's royal table. That could be awesome, or that might be a little crazy. We'll talk about that here in just a couple of minutes. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com. Home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I currently don't have my countdown app set because I haven't set my plans for summer 2018 quite yet. But the great thing about this app is anytime you set that next Disney vacation in motion, you just go to the app, reset it from your last trip, select some great pictures, maybe go with the stock photos, pick your color, your font. And what do you want to title this trip? That's one of my favorite things to do each and every time. And you're set. You're going to get an audio alert each and every day at a predetermined time. You'll get in, the badge right there on your iPhone screen to tell you how many days you have to go, and click right in to get even more excited for the next Disney vacation. Check out these and other great apps to make your Apple device a Disney device right now. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. The easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast is just to use our affiliate link each and every time you shop on Amazon. The little purchases do add up from Be Our Guest Podcast Nation, and we'd really, really appreciate that. We try to make it as easy as possible to support the show. It costs you nothing extra. Just click through the link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon each and every time you do your online shopping.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1277 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. And hopefully by now everybody's kind of settled in here in the new year. I know a lot of us were down for marathon weekend. That week that you get back is just crazy, catching up with work, catching up with laundry, trying to chill your legs out a little bit because you went crazy. You know, we had a great time looking through those pictures and always telling yourself, at least this past week, I've been saying, you know, this time last week I was, you know, at Kona, or this time last week I was riding Space Mountain. I've been doing that forever. But now we're back to reality, looking forward to the next trip, of course. That's what we do. But today we're going to get back in the groove here and answer your listener questions. We've got some awesome ones here over the past couple of weeks. So we're going to hit those and also dive deeper into the barrel because we have some waiting to be answered as well. So joining me to do that, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Wednesday, Ricky. What's going on?
Ah, it is Wednesday. I'm still slowly getting back in the swing of things. I feel like it was a lot harder to get back into the swing of things this time, so... It's happening. It's just very slow.
You know what? The thing is, okay, and I know, you know, I did the Dopey Challenge, and that kind of gets your metabolism going there for quite a while, you know, after the events. But, you know, going to Walt Disney World and doing a distance race. I mean, like, I've been eating everything that is not strapped down in this house. I mean, like, Pam, you graciously sent me some Christmas cookies that were they're all like individually packaged. So I had a strategy when they came. I didn't eat those initially because we had some homemade Christmas cookies around the house. So I tore those up because they were going to go bad first. Now I am devouring those things like every half hour. Like, rawr, 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 you know, so it's like I just
nice.
I,
and they're addictive to begin with.
They melt in your mouth.
If they're the cookies that I thank you, Pam. Oh. Those are very addictive.
They're the greatest. Gosh. They melt right in your mouth. But I mean, I'm sure some of our fellow folks, you know, are agreeing with me, whether you run or not. When you get back from Walt Disney World, it's a shock to the system to go back to peanut butter and jelly.
It's not. It's challenging, let's say, to get back on a healthy eating track, I will say.
Especially when it's this time of year, because every commercial I see on TV is like Marie Osmond telling me to go on Nutrisystem. You know, that's not the right time.
Exactly. You're fat. You need to lose weight. Get on Nutrisystem today. That's basically what she said.
Yeah, well, I know I'm on like a 7,000 calorie a day diet right now, but I mean, come on now. I run every morning. Everybody feels me. When you get back from Disney, not only is it hard to adjust back to the real world, you are just starving all the time. So I know you feel me. But anyway, we also have Pam Forrester joining us. She's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. I know she feels my pain. What's going on, Pam?
I do feel your pain. I will say the jump back to reality is a very, very challenging one, I will say. It just... We all feel the Disney blues, right? The Disney depression. It just is, it's hard. I mean, you know, like, it's just hard to come back to your regular life. Not that we all don't like and appreciate our regular lives, but I will say, you know, a bad day in Disney is better than most days at home. So just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it was cold while we were down there. And we were like, oh, man, I wish it would be warmer. But you know what? I'd rather be cold walking into Space Mountain into the Star Tunnel where, oh, I know I'm going to be warm here in a couple seconds. Then, like, the wind chills here the past couple days, 25 below zero. What? That's just stupid. Yeah. What is going on?
Right?
Something wrong with that.
Yes. Yeah.
Stupid. Anyway, let's think warm thoughts and answer some questions here. That's why we're here. Sarah's got the first question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We are traveling to Walt Disney World in March with our two boys who will be 3 and 5 years old. First of all, good luck with that age. That's going to be fun. It'll be their first trip to Walt Disney World. We're staying at the Contemporary for 3 nights, and we're planning 1 day at Animal Kingdom and 1 day at the Magic Kingdom. I snagged Cinderella's Royal Table reservation for breakfast on our Magic Kingdom day, March 14th. Yay! 8:05 a.m. Our original plan was to eat something quick and walk over early for rope drop and the welcome show, but then I grabbed the CRT reservation when it popped up. Here's my question. Do we keep our Cinderella's Royal Table reservation or switch back to the original plan? I'm worried that breakfast will take too long and we'll regret missing out on some of the attractions before the park gets busy. There are extra magic hours that day at the Magic Kingdom that night, so it's a night extra magic hour day. Lastly, our boys have food allergies and they can't have eggs, milk, or peanuts. They can't eat anything on the published allergy menu, but I know the chefs are very accommodating. However, this will add more time to our breakfast. What would you do in our situation? I love the welcome show and I want our boys to see it, but will they regret missing out on Cinderella's Royal Table? How long does it usually take to eat breakfast there? We only have 1 day at Magic Kingdom, so we want to make the most of it. Thank you. Love the show. I'm in Twin Cities in Minnesota, about 900 miles from Pittsburgh. All right, Sarah, good question. And I have a definite answer for this one, but I'm going to throw this one to the person without kids first, because I think this is a great, just testing ground question. Pam and I have kids. We have lots of experience with long meals. Ricky, what would you do?
So she has the two boys. So I'm going to suggest that they're probably not going to enjoy the meal very much. Like, she will probably enjoy the meal, but I don't know how much they'll get out of it. So I'm going to say forego Cinderella Royal Table, and instead I would go and do the welcome show.
That's you know what, Ricky? That is the correct answer. Very good. You passed. Yes, because that's exactly what I say. Kids 3 and 5 could care less with reading. I know that it's fun. I know you're going to get some amazing pictures. And I know, Sarah, you really want to go, and you deserve to go to Cinderella's Royal Table. Don't get me wrong. You're raising two toddler boys. You deserve to be, you know, eat like a princess there in a castle for 2 hours. I 100% get that. Pam, am I right, though, that, I don't know, I think 3 and 5-year-old boys need to be active. They need to be out. They could destroy the castle. It could be like that Stitch thing that was at the end of, the ride there when they had. I don't know. I'm just thinking they're not going to appreciate it quite as much as Sarah, right?
Probably not. Even if your boys really, really enjoy time with the princesses, maybe you could go ahead and schedule one of the princess meet and greets that are available. That's a great alternative. You'll get to see some there. I also think that you could pick a different breakfast, maybe before. Now, this would be awful early, but before you all will head into the park. It's just, if you really want to see the welcome show, I wouldn't schedule my breakfast anywhere near the time of it, because it always does seem to take longer than you think it does.
Yeah, what I do in this situation, this is what we've done in the past, and it works out really well for us. Like, if you want to see something early, this is a day where you grab Pop-Tarts out the door, go see the things you want initially, like the welcome show, maybe take a ride on Peter Pan, because that one's going to get crowded early, you know, things like that. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, if you want to rope drop that. Then have a nice breakfast if you want to have a carrot. And I know she can't just change her CRT reservations. Right. That's impossible. But you could also go to a resort and maybe grab a Chef Mickey's, which the boys might like better. That'd be a tough one still to get. But I mean, maybe like a Whispering Canyon at Wilderness Lodge. You could take a boat over there. The boys would love that, and you could have a fun breakfast there. There's good breakfast options at the Polynesian as well. You could do the Lilo and Stitch. They'd probably like that better. But I think you could, you know, have a Pop-Tart, do the welcome show, grab a breakfast, you know, even a nice breakfast that would kind of be in place of that CRT reservation. The boys might like it better, and you're not going to be rushed because you got, you know, you're doing right. It around 10 o'clock at that point. I think you're seeing, and then you hop back to the Magic Kingdom and stay there till midnight. You know, Ricky, is that going to work out?
Yeah, I think that that's a much better option. Like you said, she seems like she really wants the family to see the welcome show. And I think that that's probably the better option altogether. And like you said, you can, if you really have your heart set on having a character meal, you know, or a breakfast, you know, there are a ton of other choices. Another choice that, you know, we can throw out there that I hear just rave reviews about, still haven't been to yet, but need to, is Crystal Palace. So I hear just the food there is really good too. So apparently they have like a really awesome breakfast lasagna that I need to try. So I mean, absolutely have to try, you know, totally. So I say if she really has her heart set on a, like a character breakfast type situation, that way she's still in the Magic Kingdom, she mm-hmm. can try over there too. Plus, you know, if they go around that, you know, 11-ish time, they can sometimes get that switch over from breakfast to lunch too.
That's it. Yeah, that is good breakfast. I've had it there. And you got lots of characters, too. So fun.
Yep.
All right. Next question comes from Dorit. She says, hello, Be Our Guest podcast team. My name is Dorit, like Dorito without the O. I love it. People are helping me spell or pronounce things and using things that I'm comfortable with, like Doritos. You know, if you're going to say something, you know, Doritos, I know how to pronounce that. Says, I've been listening to your podcast for the past 8 months. My fiance, Michael, and I are Disney mooning over Memorial Day weekend. Congratulations. My dad lived in Hollywood, Florida for 9 years, and I haven't been back to Disney in 10 years. Michael has never been to Disney, so I'm super excited to take him. We rented DVC points and are staying in a Savannah View studio at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village. Whew, that's a mouthful. My question today revolves around making difficult Tier 1 FastPass Plus choices at Epcot. I've done lots of research on best uses of the three advanced fast passes for each park we are visiting, but I'm conflicted with our Epcot Tier 1 option. I'm already planning to have us ride Test Track in the single rider line to knock that out quickly. Now I need help figuring out how we should get the fast pass for Frozen or Soarin'. I feel like Soarin' might be easier to get in line right after rope drop than Frozen would be. Plus, Michael isn't really a Disney watcher, so he wouldn't care about riding Frozen at all. I guess that means movies. I love Frozen, though, and would be sad to miss it. I know neither of us want to waste 75-plus minutes standing on line, however, since we only have one day in Epcot and want to eat and drink around the world. What do you guys think? Thanks for all you do with the podcast. We live in Des Moines, Iowa, which is not too far from Mike, but pretty far from Pam and Ricky. By the way, I wrote this whole email, including as I am writing this sentence, hearing it being read in Mike's voice. Ha. Have an awesome day, Dorit. See, Dorit, I can just, you know what? That's I'm going to head up to Des Moines. I used to speed skate with a guy named Dante from Des Moines, Iowa, who won everything every year. Dante Muse was his name. And I forget the name of the rinks. They own 4 rinks in Des Moines. So she probably knows the family. I'm sure Des Moines big and she might not know Dante, but I know Des Moines. But I might go up there and just follow around for a day and just like cross the street now, Dorit. Yeah. And have a great day, Dorit. You know, happy Wednesday, Dorit. You know, and just, you know, like that's what I could do, you know, if I ever need something.
I think you've lost your mind tonight.
I have, but yeah, I'm having fun. We haven't really podcasted a whole lot since Marathon.
I know. I'm kind of excited.
I'm glad to be back. Okay. So, I guess it boils down to Soarin' or, Frozen. So Pam, you would fast pass Frozen and stand by Soarin', right? I mean, I think that's the right answer.
Absolutely.
In almost every situation.
Yes, you are correct.
Good. I'm two for two.
Right. Good. There is a right answer to this question, and this pertains whether you are a Soarin' or fast pass or Frozen fan. If you want to ride Frozen, even if you're not the biggest Frozen fan, you want to fast pass that attraction because you'll be able to, as mentioned, do Test Track as single rider. And then Soarin', since the addition of that additional screen, the lines have really been manageable for most times at Soarin'. So you can head there soon after you know the park opens. If you do not want to do the single rider for Test Track, I would head to Test Track first and then over to Soarin', and I still think you'll be in good shape. I just think there's just enough time to do both of those things, so go and enjoy. That's the correct answer. Don't believe anyone who tells you any differently.
That is right. Don't listen to any other podcast that gives you bad advice on that one, because that's
right.
A no-brainer. So yeah, go with that. No, you know what though, I think that third theater at Soarin' is just a myth. It doesn't really exist, because Scott and I were talking We have never, ever got sent to the third theater. Have you? Because, like, I've never been in it yet. Like, every time they send me down the same hall, like, it's like roulette. I never get the new theater.
Well, we're sorry for you, but it does exist.
It does.
I'm sure it's way different than the other two. I mean, I'm sure it's like, whoa. It's got exactly the new theater the smell. Exactly. All right, next question. This is a simple one. It's from Stacy. She says, what are your favorite on-the-go snacks to bring into the parks for both adults and kids to share? So things not to buy in the parks, but to bring in yourself to snack on while you're touring the parks. Ricky, you have the big purse. What do you bring in that thing besides the stuff that you, what do you call it? The pocket biscuit.
The pocket biscuit.
I almost sat on in your car. Yeah, besides that. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the pocket biscuit is where it all started. So yeah, but now I have pocket cookies. So, it's a long story, everybody. Don't worry about it. So anyway, you know what? I'm kind of terrible. I don't bring in any snacks usually anymore. When I did, it would be like granola bars, or like you said earlier, Mike, Pop-Tarts. It would be like a breakfasty thing to try to get, you know, to get through the day, that part. I would think that if you've got like little kids, like Goldfish crackers would probably be a good thing, or Cheerios, that kind of stuff, that will be fine to get through. You know, just little things that you can like get handfuls of that are easily transportable, I think is probably going to be the best option. So
yeah, I'm trying.
My suggestion. Oh, fruit snacks too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what we used to put in the backpack all the time. It was always Goldfish. It was like pretzels. It was fruit snacks. We would take Capri Suns and we'd freeze them the night before, and then they would kind of thaw out. And those are really good because you could just down those. You know, like it's a one, you know, setting thing. Have a drink, throw it away. Pam, what else? You know, because as the bag check line has gotten longer and longer, we don't bring a bag anymore, so we don't tend to bring in snacks. We used to bring tons, though, and those were the things. Those always made of granola bars, like the chewy granola. You just had to watch things that would melt.
Yeah, for sure. I am the worst when it comes to things like this because I bring water, and that's all we ever bring anymore. When Hannah was little, maybe I would bring something, you know, a little for her to snack on, like some Teddy Grahams or like.
Ooh, Teddy Grahams are delicious, even as an adult. I'm not even going to lie. I would eat some Teddy Grahams right now if I had them. So.
But I would like do some fruit or some things like that. But the great thing about being in a Disney park, I think, is they sell delicious snacks, and they are snacks that I cannot get at home, I will just say. And that's the thing, like even the popcorn is better at Walt Disney World, I will just say.
Yes, it is.
So that's, you know, that's one of the main reasons why we don't bring anything out. Yeah, I'll stick with that. That's the main reason we don't. Not that I don't plan ahead. It's that. That's why, because there's so many delicious snacks. No, but there are some great snack options that I think most people really enjoy. And you honestly, there's some stuff you just don't want to miss, like a Mickey bar. Hello. That's not just a snack. That's like a rite of passage, I think. So you don't want to miss stuff like that. There's other, you know, other great snack choices too. You know, I think if you want to stay healthy, they also have other healthy choices too. At the Disney parks, they sell little things of fruit or nuts or, you know, lots of great choices. So go and enjoy and take in whatever your family really likes to snack on, because, you know, that's what's important.
Yep. Ready for a BOGP confession?
Yes.
Okay, so I've been cheating on the Mickey bar with the Mickey ice cream sandwich my last two trips, and I feel guilty about it. I feel so bad about that because I'm a Mickey bar guy. Like, and I'm loyal as loyal can be.
The ice cream sandwich is pretty good too, not gonna lie.
That new Mickey, you know, and I know it's not new, but like, I, you know, it's new to me. So like that Vixen, the Mickey ice cream sandwich, man, is just like, it's like flashing its stuff at me, you know. It's like, I gotta eat it, you know. It's like so good. And I feel bad because Mickey bar is over there saying, you know, we've been friends for, you know, decades.
I know.
Yeah, it's terrible. I know. It's a terrible Disney problem.
I thought it was going to be that you had pocket biscuits.
No, I never had a pocket biscuit. I'm scared of those. You know, I'm worried about food poisoning. And one other thing, though, you mentioned popcorn.
It's a biscuit.
I'm just saying. I don't know. It's a pocket biscuit. Once it goes in the pocket, it could have lint. Anyway, so one of the other things that, and I know this is out there, and I knew this, but I forgot about it. I'm not a big popcorn eater, but grab that popcorn bucket and get your refills for like $1.50 for the length of your trip. We did that last time. I mean, Mallory and Emily ate so much popcorn. I was worried that like they were going to dehydrate from the salt. They're going to be like beef jerky by the end of the trip. It was crazy. They got their money's worth. And we just used it last night. We made some top secret and put it in the bucket, and it was not really like being there, but, you know, better than anything.
It's delicious.
All right, next question comes from Jordan. Hey, everyone. I've just started listening to your podcast and want to first take a second to thank you for all of your hard work. I love the podcast, and you all do a fantastic job. Thanks so much. The reason I'm writing is twofold. First, do you ever work with DVC members who plan trips to Walt Disney World? And Pam, we don't do that as travel agents, and there's a pretty simple reason why, that DVC has kind of their own system through member services. And I know, Pam, that, you know, you've seen both sides of it because you have been a DVC member in the past, and you obviously own the travel agency. So, you know, speak real quickly to that about DVC and travel agents.
No, so, you know, our agency in particular does not charge guests a fee to work with us. You know, I suppose at some point in the future, we'll explore that possibility of charging a fee for guests who do not book with us. But travel agencies are paid by the suppliers that we work with. In this case, Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, et cetera. And that means that we don't have to charge anymore, and we don't have to charge you a fee. And we just, you know, we don't get paid for booking Disney Vacation Club trips, so we can't work with those members. But you can access the options available to guests through Disney Vacation Club planning.
All right, good stuff. Because we get that question a lot, so just I was glad that you know, Jordan dropped that out there. Second, he says, what are your thoughts on Old Key West versus Animal Kingdom Lodge? I grew up at Old Key West. My parents were early DVC members, but I haven't been back to the park since 2006, and I've never stayed anywhere at Walt Disney World except Old Key West. My family and I live on the West Coast and try to make it to Disneyland and Alani once a year, but rarely make it all the way to the east or east to Walt Disney World. That said, we are runners, and now that there are no more run Disney races on the West Coast, we're looking at the Wine and Dine half. What are your thoughts on staying at Old Key West, our home resort, versus Animal Kingdom Lodge and the Wine and Dine? Also, do you have any advice for a Disney fan who will be in the parks for the first time in a decade? Looking online and listening to the BOGP, I feel like it's going to be a totally different and has me very nervous. Jordan. All right, so let's compare and contrast Old Key West and Animal Kingdom Lodge. I've stayed at both. Pam, you've obviously stayed at both many times. Pam, give your initial thoughts, especially for like a race weekend. I don't really know. I don't think there's much difference for a race weekend at either one, to be honest. But go ahead.
So right now, I kind of feel as if Old Key West is in some dire need of a rehab. And it has been for a little bit. It's going to get it this year. I love Old Key West too. It really has a special place in my heart. It feels like home to me. It's very nostalgic. I love the feel that it's a community. I love the larger accommodations and whatnot. But the last time we stayed there, things were just, I just felt like they needed judged, as I say from time to time. They just needed a little judging.
You know what, Pam? Here's what I thought of, because we stayed there last summer. I thought it kind of reminded me of like Family Ties. I liked it, the nostalgia there. I was expecting, like, you know, Alex to pop out and talk about the stock market, you know, Mallory to come in. What was her boyfriend's name in the show? I mean, it's very 80s. You know, it had that 80s vibe to it. But, you know, I don't know if it's intentional, but it was.
Yeah, I felt that way too, and I just felt like the accommodations just sometimes, you know, they let them go just a little bit too long before they start the rehab process. So I would love to see Disney start that all, you know, maybe a year or two prior to, you know, letting that go. Animal Kingdom Lodge is newer. I feel like the accommodations are probably in better shape just because they haven't had as much use as the Old Key West ones. I also think that Animal Kingdom Lodge is really great in terms of the overall theming. It's one of those resorts that you just walk in and you're instantly kind of smacked in the face in a good way by the theme. It's overwhelming and it really encompasses all your senses, the smell, the sound of the music and whatnot. They have some great activities there. The pool's great. Lots of fun stuff to do there. So I would kind of, for this, you know, in trip in particular, until Old Key West gets done with the renovations, I would kind of give the nod to Animal Kingdom Lodge Villas, but you can't go wrong with either one. We book both for guests all the time. And that was something else I wanted to mention, that we book the Disney Deluxe Villa resort accommodations for guests who, you know, pay cash with the Magic for Less all the time. So just wanted to put that out there as well. But I really like both accommodations. I just think for the reasons mentioned, I would go ahead and stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge this time.
So let me mention a couple things as Jordan brings up some great points in this email. First of all, you know, getting back to that, we do book the villa accommodations for our guests at the Magic for Less. I will tell you personally, I never, ever, ever looked at a villa when I was kind of just on my own booking trips, you know, for the family going down. Like, I just basically discounted all the DVC resorts. You know, I never thought about staying. There was always like a Pop Century or Riverside, you know, your traditional non-DVC resorts, which they're getting fewer and fewer. But as I've stayed at these places, what I have found out is these are great options, especially when you get families of like five or six. You need to look at these, not just DVC members, but if you're thinking about staying, you know, a one bedroom unit is got a lot of pluses to it. And you can book that just like you can a standard hotel room. You know, we stayed in a two bedroom, two families together. We got to have a living room where we could, you know, basically vacation together and not just, you know, hang out at the food court. We had a living room with a couch and a TV and a full kitchen. And, you know, we could make breakfast. We could make biscuits. We could sit on our balcony over the golf course at Old Key West. And it was amazing. And so I think that, you know, especially larger groups, don't shy away just because it says it's a DVC resort. Those rooms can be booked by you too. And a lot of times you can get some pretty decent specials.
That's, you know, the, what I was going to say, too. The discounts. Yeah, the discounts there are, you know, when you see the discounts at up to 30% off or discounts up to 25% off, that highest percentage discount is going to be available at the deluxe villas most times. So that's something to consider as well.
So a couple of things, you know, Old Key West, I think you're going to get bigger accommodations than Animal Kingdom Lodge. Typically, you know, square foot wise, Old Key West, I would highly recommend having a car or using something like Uber a lot because it's very big. Now, that's also one of the pluses for me. When I stayed there, I loved it because it really did feel like a gated Florida, like, vacation community. You know, I don't know, you know, just it's the feel it had with the lake and Olivia's and all the pictures of all the families that, you know, are members there and have been for years. And Olivia's is one of my favorite restaurants at Walt Disney World. Now, I love it. It's a good value. But then when you compare and contrast that to Animal Kingdom Lodge, you have Boma, you have Jiko, you have the Mara for some quick service. You know, I mean, you have great options there as well. I'm missing Sanaa. You got Sanaa there in the, you know, Kidani Village. So, you know, either one is fine. I'm with Pam. Animal Kingdom Lodge is a little bit more up to date, a little bit more, you know, less worn out. Animal Kingdom Lodge is just, it's amazing with the animals. It's got a lot of experience, a lot of, you know, chances to explore the art. So you really can't go wrong on either, but I think you got to give the nod a little bit to Animal Kingdom Lodge, but Old Key West, I love the place because it just reminds me of Florida. I mean, and I love Florida. Florida's awesome. You know, not just Walt Disney World. I love the entire peninsula. So I love that. All right, Ricky, you got the last question. So I'm throwing this one to you. Hasn't been in a decade and they're West Coast fans that go to Disneyland and Alani. Hasn't been there since 2006. Give them some advice, man. That's a tough one. I left the hard one for you here.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. That's so nice of you. Yeah, it is tough. Because it is going to be completely different than visiting, you know, Disneyland and of course Alani, you know, having been there, it's an absolutely different animal. And speaking of that, you know, if you do stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, that does have kind of a similar feel to Alani. So, that's something to consider too. So there you go. If you like Alani, you're going to probably like Animal Kingdom Lodge. So anyway, I think that what you should do is you've done a good job. You're doing the research by, you know, listening to podcasts like this and stuff like that. So you're doing a good job of researching. Figure out what kind of the few things are that are must-dos for you in each of the parks that you've heard about. And then make sure you do those. And then just enjoy as you kind of walk around and soak up, you know, the atmosphere of everything else. You know, you're going to get to do some of those less popular things, I guess I should say, that, you know, things maybe like the Country Bear Jamboree that used to be at Disneyland that's no longer there anymore, or like Living with the Land. You know, there's still good quality, fun attractions, but, you know, they're not on a lot of guidebooks and stuff like that. So, you know, just really enjoy that aspect of experiencing the parks too. And I think you're going to have a good time. Just don't stress a lot. I know that there's a ton to think about, you know, when you're planning a trip since you haven't been back since 2006, but really just make sure you think about the things that you absolutely must do. And then I think you can go from there.
Let me just throw this into last thing for Jordan, okay? Because you're coming for the first time in a decade and you're looking at the Wine and Dine Race weekend, not to discourage you, but just to give you a heads up. That weekend is really, really busy. I mean,
it is
really busy. get your, you know, get your accommodations set and plenty of time, get those fast passes scheduled, get your dining scheduled ASAP. Because again, if you're a Disneyland person, that might not cross your mind. You want to have, because you know, you're coming all the way across the country, get some good meals, get those, you know, eat at Boma, eat at Jiko, you know, and grab, you know, a Cinderella's Roll Table if that's what you want, or be our guest, but you got to be proactive at 180. Grab those and just know that it can be really hot, you know, during Wine and Dine Race weekend, and it can be very, very, very busy. But you can still, you know, just be smart about it. Go the way the crowds aren't, and get Food and Wine Festival to enjoy. That's something, you know, would be new, obviously, probably. Mm-hmm. So you can have a great time, but just know it's not going to be empty on a race weekend. So that's probably the busiest race weekend of them all, to be honest, as far as crowds overall, because you got Food and Wine going on. All right, next question is from Karen, Pam, Ricky, and Mike. I have a quick question. If you have previously stayed at a deluxe resort and have the minivan option added to your Lyft app and then stay at a moderate or value, will the minivan option still be on the Lyft app? Karen's from Vernon Hill, Illinois. She is 496.3 miles from Pam, 757.2 from Ricky, and only 317.2 from me, but she's 1197.8 from Walt Disney World. Sorry, Karen. All right, so here's the thing. We were on the wagon ride. We took this awesome wagon ride, which we'll talk about on Friday's podcast. And we somehow we got talking about the Lyft app. We were talking with Todd Perlmutter, Scott and I were talking, and we were talking about the minivans. And the thing is the thing that this is how I think they're supposed to work is that you open the Lyft app if you're at a resort that supports the minivans. And it becomes an option, like on, and I don't use Lyft, I use Uber, but you got like the Uber X, the Uber XL, you know, and the, what's the, like the Sil, there's like a really nice Uber. I get the cheap one every time. I don't even know, but there's options of what you can book. Apparently on the Lyft app, if you're in a place where they can, you know, service the minivan comes up as an option. And on Scott's phone, it did come up as an option. On my phone, it didn't. And we were in the exact same place, which I didn't understand why that happened, but who knows? So Pam, what do you think? I mean, obviously if there are, what's the status of the minivans? Ricky, do you know? I mean, are they serving moderates or values? I mean, it seemed like they had a lot of information initially, and I've kind of lost track of what's going on with those.
So as far as I know, I think they're just at deluxe resorts right now. However, I have heard that they are expanding the fleet. So they're adding more cars this year. I don't remember the number, but it's a bunch more cars this year. So I suspect that as soon as they start adding more cars, you will start to see them show up at maybe the moderates and the values. I'm not, like I said, I don't use Lyft either. I mostly have used Uber. So I'm not 100% sure. And you're right, the information has been kind of spotty. They haven't really said, hey, we're rolling this out to blank resort anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like they were originally saying, hey, we're rolling it out to this resort, you know, and I feel like they haven't really done that a lot lately. So but yeah, I will say that when I was down there for Marathon Weekend, I saw the minivans a ton.
See, you know,
oh my
what?
Gosh, I saw them all over the place.
I was just going to say, I hardly saw minivans. Like I saw
really?
Way more. I saw way more this summer than this trip. That's
interesting.
Crazy.
Huh. That Maybe is I just crazy. Wasn't so, but I know that Pam picked up a pamphlet because I saw her start picking up. So I don't know if she's got any more information about it or not.
I'm just saying, officially, they're saying that they're only available at select resorts. They're not available at the moderate resorts officially at this point, although I know guests who have been able to pick one up there at the Lyft. So I don't think we can say with any certainty. And I think if you call Disney, I'm betting
they're
that
not
they
going to be able to tell you either. Yeah.
Right. I'm telling you because I don't, you know, but I think officially their policy is that they're only available from select resorts and the moderates aren't on the list of official resorts from which they're available at this point. But it never hurts to try.
Yeah. So I was going to say, here's what I would do. Not, don't hold me to this. This is just me being stupid. But what I would do is if it was an option and I'm staying at Riverside, I'd push the button and see if one shows up. You know what I mean? What? If it shows up, just jump in and boom, you know, you're there. I mean, it couldn't hurt, you know, but if it doesn't show up, it doesn't show up. But let us know. Please do let us know when you get back. All right. Terry's got the next question. It's like the DVC show. He says, looking into staying with my DVC points at Wilderness Lodge. Wilderness Lodge is one of our absolute favorite places to stay, even though Old Key West is our home away from home. For Wilderness Lodge, though, there are now three different DVC options. The cabins are totally out due to not wanting to sell a kidney to get in there. But the two of the two remaining options, Boulder Ridge Villas, the separate original DVC at Wilderness Lodge, and Copper Creek Villas, the wing of Wilderness Lodge, which would you prefer and discuss? Terry's in Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, a mere 42 miles from Pam. Now, Pam, I know I don't know if you've stayed in all these options, but I know you've toured them. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on, because there, you know, there is a lot to think about with Wilderness Lodge and DVC at this point.
Oh, yeah, there is. The difference is that in the, you know, the new part of the Wilderness Lodge, which actually used to be the Wilderness, that used to actually be the Wilderness Lodge and is now part of Disney Vacation Club, those units have the new decor that you see featured. The other ones, the villas that used to be there, feature the more traditional decor that you're used to seeing at the villas of Wilderness Lodge, that kind of lodgy, more of a lodgy feel, while the new units have that kind of upgraded decor. And then, of course, you have the cabins. And that would really depend on whether, you know, of course, whether you want to stay to pay in those kind of things. But there's still a special place in my heart, I think, for the actual staying in the lodge itself. I really enjoy those rooms in particular, even the ones that aren't deluxe villas, because I think that they offer a lot of different accommodations, and the fact that you can get concierge service there for sometimes not that much more than a traditional room, I think that's a huge plus too. So, you know, not to add another thing into your mix of things to choose from, but look at the cost of that too, because sometimes that's a big win.
Yeah, you know, here's what I say, you know, and this is just something, I'm not DVC, but what I would do is really always try to maximize my points, and I might go where the points are the least, you know, at Wilderness Lodge, because you're still going to be able to enjoy all of the amenities. You know, once you're at the Wilderness Lodge, you're still, no matter what part of the lodge, you can still go to Geyser Point, you can still go to Whispering Canyon, you can still have a really nice meal at Artist Point, you can swim in the pools, you know, you have different pools, you know, but you still get the feature pool at the lodge itself. And you're still going to take the same transportation. So, I would just look where the points are and try to get the biggest bang for my buck out of them. But that would be me at every resort. I mean, Ricky, I bet you would kind of fall in the same way, right? I mean, unless it's like a special trip or something, like a honeymoon or something like that.
Yeah, I'm exactly with you. I would look for where the points are the cheapest. So that's just me.
All righty. So, let's hit the last question of the day. And it's from a dear friend, Podcast Lizard. Here we go. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. This is from Laurie. I'm staying at Old Key West for Star Wars Dark Side Race weekend in April. I have a split stay at French Quarter and Old Key West. I was wondering which area is the most convenient to catching the race transportation in the morning at Old Key West. Which area is closest to the lobby and Olivia's? She says, I can't say enough about how awesome this podcast is and how dedicated you are outside of the podcast. Thank you for all the support you gave to the Lizards who ran on Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. I always look forward to each episode and listen as I run or drive my 30 minutes to work. Keep up the fantastic work you all do on the podcast, Laurie. Let me just, before I answer this question, because it's a simple answer. Laurie, I'm so proud of you. She did the Goofy Challenge down there. For those that you know, that aren't runners, that's the half marathon on Saturday and the full marathon on Sunday, 39.3 amazing miles. Laurie, I know that I saw a great picture that Mike Bank had took. I put it on my Instagram because when you want to tell people that weren't there, the emotions of Marathon Sunday, this picture was awesome. It was an embrace of Laurie and her husband at mile 25 of the marathon. She knew she had reached her goal. You know, she was just, had to make that last mile into the finish line. And every time I look at it, man, it chokes me up because it's such a great picture. And I saw her after marathon on Sunday. We were passing the Fountain View Cafe, you know, the Starbucks in Epcot. She was telling me how she ran a PR and just how awesome it was that she, you know, she completed the Goofy Challenge. And I mean, that is exactly what it's all about. Like, I just want to give her a big hug and just say, you know, this is it. I mean, if there's anything like a reward for having the podcast, seeing the joy on Laurie's face for this thing that she has for the rest of her life and how hard she worked for it. Because if you don't know Laurie, she will run in a blizzard. Like, no kidding. Like, right now, I was mentioning the negative 25 wind chill that's going to happen here in the next couple of days. She would say, no big deal. I'm just going to put on a hat and some mittens and go run six. Yeah, you know, it's exactly. Like, what are you doing? You're going to die out there. So Laurie's awesome. I'm so proud of you, Laurie. Thanks for writing. Here's what I would do for the question. Let me just get to your question here before we got to get out of here. Just put on your reservation that you want to be as close to the main building as possible and let them know that you're running. Custom House. Yeah, that's right. And, because the thing is, I never roll the dice anymore really with building numbers. I tell them exactly what I'm looking for. It gives them more options, you know, so I'm running the race. I want to be as close to race day transportation, or I could say I want to be as close to the main building, you know, or whatever. just say that and you're going to get in the best spot, because I can tell you what, at Old Key West, Pam, you know this. I mean, when we stayed this summer with the Gardeners, we were in the very back of the resort. And I mean, I was closer to riding Soarin' than I was Olivia's, I think. It was crazy. I mean, that place is huge.
It's a big resort, and so you can be very far away from the main building. So that's something that you can definitely request. And even if you don't get it, the other thing to note is that there is an internal bus system, and it should be around that morning to pick you up at, you know, pick you up at certain locations, and then we'll take you back to the custom house before heading out to the park. So hopefully that's something that would work for you too.
You know, Laurie would probably just jog up there from the back. I mean, it's Laurie. I mean, but you don't need to do that. Save your energy. Save the force. You got to run that
day.
That's
right.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today. Send in your questions. We love these. We love to talk about all these great topics. Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. We'll get right on those ASAP. Of course, it's Wednesday. Our show is brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Hey, maybe you got a new device here recently for the holidays. This is a great app to put there. Theme Park News Disney Edition, free iOS app. Ricky, what are we reading about? What's in the news that we can read about on Theme Park News Disney Edition?
Well, this has been a very newsworthy week.
Yeah, just pick one.
Past week. Yeah. But the one thing that I will mention is that Disney is closing its three children's activity centers. They are located at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is Simba's Cub House, Disney's Polynesian Village Resort, which is Lilo's Playhouse. I don't think it's Playhouse, but anyway. And then Disney's Yacht, our Beach Club, which is the Sandcastle Club. The last day for those for guests to take advantage of that is July 31st. So that's a bummer for those who used the children's activity centers for maybe date night or something.
You know what? I think I've told this story, but you know, we're going on 10 years here in a couple of months, and I think I got to repeat this one, because do you guys remember the old kids club over at the Polynesian was called the Neverland Club?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we never took the kids there, but we used to go, you know, we used to be on the dining plan when it was, you know, first invented, and you had just a bajillion credits, you know, it was ridiculous. You couldn't eat all your food. So we always went to the luau, you know, because there's two credits. So this is so bad. The one year we took Paige's friend Molly with us, and they were only like 7 or 8, you know, they were young. So we go over there, you know, we walk past there. So they, you know, what's that? Oh, it's a Neverland Club. That's where the kids can go. Or the parents go out on date night, whatever. So they knew what it was. So like a couple nights later, Paige was being bad. Like she was just having a, you know, the Disney meltdown the kids have. Maybe it's just my kids. I don't know. Maybe it's me. But anyway, so she's there. We're at Pop Century. I still remember this. We're at Pop Century. And I'm like, that's it. I'm calling the Neverland Club. We're slinging you in the Neverland Club. So me and your mom and Molly can go and have a good night because you're acting crazy. We're throwing you in the Neverland Club for the night. So I pick up the phone and fake dial and, you know, have the conversation. Is this the Neverland Club? Okay. Yeah, my name's Mike. I need to make a reservation. How late are you open? Okay, she's staying till closing, you know? And so while I'm doing this, of course, Paige is freaking out. But her friend Molly is like bawling because she thinks her best friend in, you know, Disney jail. Because she's acting crazy. So, yeah, the Disney crazies come out. I was crazy on the phone. Paige thought she was getting slung into the Neverland Club by herself without her friend. Her friend was thinking she had to go around with Pam and I for the night because Paige was being... It was just Meltdown City. But, yeah, that...
Meanwhile, I will tell you, we did take Anna to the Neverland Club. She loved it and wanted to go back every night.
Oh, I knew she would love it if we took her over there, but it was just the fact that, you know what, we're putting you in the Neverland Club. We can't take it anymore. It's crazy. So, you know what, Ricky, I'm kind of glad they're closing because I'm not tempted to throw that on her sister now. You know, I could do that to Mallory.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad it worked out for you, ? Yeah. So that's good.
thank you.
Anyway, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Don't forget also, please use the Amazon affiliate link when you do your online shopping. We really appreciate that. You get all your Prime benefits, and it really does help support the show. Cost you nothing extra. We try to make it as easy as possible. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon when you do all that online shopping. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. Great Facebook group. We need you to come on by, join the page, see everything going on. It's facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, time to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday. We're going to talk about everything that we did, well, at least a lot of the things that we did that were new to us over this past trip. And we did a lot of new things. So if you want to know what's happening down at Walt Disney World with all the new stuff, stay tuned for that. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great midweek. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Thanks for throwing it to the person without kids first. So you know what? Here's really what I would do. I know she's really excited about eating at Cinderella Royal Table. But I think if it were me, I would probably forgo the meal. First of all, it does take a while. She said that they're boys, right?
Yeah, 2, 3, and 5 year old boys. Hello?
Sorry. I'm dying. Hold on.
I hate when that happens. I hate when she dies.
We have the most bizarre podcast.
We do. We do, man. We're rolling, and then Ricky's choking.
How does anyone listen to this?
I know. I'm trying to get the timestamp of when she died.
Okay, I'm back now. Thanks.
Ricky dies every now and then.
I think you died at about 5:25, but I'm not positive because in case I have to fill out the death certificate, I'd always jot that down so I can edit and tell the medical examiner.
Give or take.
Yeah, give or take. It was 5:25 or 5:30, right in that range. I'll go back and edit that out. Ish.
You can say ish. And that
cause of death, 2 toddlers, 3 and 5.
Yeah, exactly.
She didn't want to answer the question.
Yeah, okay, so just take over whenever you're ready there, Ricky. You got a deep breath.
I'm back.
Okay,
it's fine.
That's good to know.
So she has the two boys. So I'm going to suggest that they're probably...